Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome. We're glad to have you with us for another in the series of Read the Word. We are reading through the Bible chronologically this year, started in January, and on December 31st, we will read the final words that say, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen." I think it's awesome. The first words in the Bible are, "In the beginning, God created." And the last verse of the Bible is, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Today, for this session, we are finishing the book of 2 Corinthians, chapters 10 through 13. The Apostle Paul has dealt with many things in the Corinthian church, very strong church, very spirit-filled church, very caring, giving church, yet there was also licentiousness and looseness in this church, and he had to deal with it just like any other church. Remember this about church. If you're looking for a perfect church, stop looking, because as soon as you show up there, it'll no longer be perfect because you're there. There's no perfect church except the fact that God is the one that told you to go to the one you're going to, and that makes it perfect. And when you get there, there'll be real people dealing with real problems in a real world, trying to find the real God that has real answers for the real problems of life. And remember, you and I are there and designed by God to help people come to the understanding of who he is and how good he is in our life. Once you know how good God is, once you know what he's done in your life, you'll never go after the things of the enemy again. Remember, God doesn't curse anybody to hell. He gives you and I the opportunity to make a decision our whole life to choose him. If you choose him, you get to live eternity with him. If you choose his enemy, Satan, then by your choice, you spend eternity in damnation with Satan. It's not because God hates you. It's because you made a choice. So don't make that choice. Choose with us to walk with God. He'll live within you and lead you from the inside out. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession, because I can feel preach coming on strong. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what the Bible says I am.
I am what the Bible says I am.
Because it is straight from Jesus, the great I am.
It is straight from Jesus, the great I am.
Tonight I receive this word. Planted as a seed in the good soil of my heart. Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, hallelujah, and thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're starting. First, we're going to start right out with spiritual authority. And this is one of the most powerful verses in your Bible about how to deal with yourself and get yourself in order and in line with God. Chapter 10, verse 1, Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. People were mocking Paul and his looks. Isn't that something? That you would mock the man who will be responsible for writing two-thirds of the New Testament about how he looks. Verse 2, but I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intended to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, you are in this flesh. This is flesh. You're walking in this flesh. We do not war according to our flesh with knives and guns. You can't shoot a demon. Can't stab one. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, man-made, but they are mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bless you, Sunday. Good to have you with us over on YouTube. All of our other friends that's there, we certainly do love you. I got my cup of coffee close by, my grandpa cup from my wonderful grandsons. So I want you to see this about verse number 1-5. Paul's talking about spiritual warfare, but he ain't talking about you and I going up into the heavenly somewhere and pulling down a demon. He's talking about doing warfare inside al-Akabesa, inside your own head. Casting down arguments in here and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at what it says, verse 5. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It is possible to do that or he wouldn't have said it. For you and I to literally bring every thought in our spirit, soul, and body into subjection to the knowledge of Christ every day. It is possible. The first thing you got to do is believe that it's possible. You got to go after it. And you got to say, no, brain, you aren't going to just run off and think about whatever you want. I'm going to put the word of God in my mouth, and you're going to hear it in the ears, and you're going to be forced to listen to the word of God so that it will change our lives. Verse 6. And be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by the letters that I write. Verse 10, for his letters, they say, are weighty, powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Isn't it something that they were making these statements about the Apostle Paul? And yet, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been a part of a few board meetings where these kind of words were said about the man of God sitting there. The man of God was one of the most humble men that anybody in that room had ever met, and he was responsible for everyone in that room having come to the knowledge and understanding of God Almighty, and they still treated him with great contempt. Why? Because they were given access to use a demonic spirit against the pastor of the church. And those kind of meetings and boards are just out of order. They're not in this book anywhere. And every time you get into one of those situations, it will go wrong because it's not in God's ways of doing things. And you and I got to be wise to say, well, we ain't doing that. They said his speech is contemptible. And what is his speech? Everything we've just read that is life-changing in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And they're calling his speech contemptible when he stands in front of them. They're mockers. They're troublemakers. And like we saw Dutch say last night, they're just leeches. Thank you, Dutch. If you have a problem with what I just said, send your cards and letters to Dutch Sheets Ministry. Verse 11, let such a person consider this, that we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we're present. Paul's saying, I'm the same dude no matter what. Verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You're only as smart as what you can be. And if you don't ever let nobody else get in any farther inside of you, you ain't never going to be wiser than what you were. You'll be an ignoramus. 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. And you'll remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, God places you in the body where he wants you. And the Corinthian church was one of the groups of disciples that God placed the Apostle Paul in the leadership of. 14. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends is approved. Get into all that. We've worked hard here, but what? Who's going to brag? You? Me? I ain't bragging. If there's anybody in this ministry that knows this is all grace, is me. This is grace. Sister Leanne and I at times just stand here and say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, goodness sakes alive, none of this would go on. Yeah, watch it go. Chapter 11. Paul was concerned for their faithfulness. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It happens to every one of us. It's why Jesus said, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things, word, don't let it happen. But nobody can stop it from happening in your life except you. And nobody can stop it from happening in my life except me. Don't let the enemy choke the word in your life. Verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to be able to minister to you, Corinthians. When I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied, and in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. Verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. They are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. What is he saying? There's some people that showed up in their church that were false people. They weren't real. They weren't real Christians. They weren't real believers. They weren't real leaders. But they acted like it to get you to get the Corinthians to follow them away from the true way of God. Woo! 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To your shame, I say that we are too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. You can see there's a great struggle going on in this church for the enemy to destroy the work that God had done through Paul in Corinth. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more a minister in Christ, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That means he had 195 stripes on his body. That's serious. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. That means shipwrecked and in the water for a night and a day. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. He must have been robbed. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of the churches. All of that happened to Paul while he's caring for the church. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I don't burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. And that was the beginning of Paul's Christian life. Chapter 12, the vision of paradise. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. Okay? I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I encourage you right there in your Bible to write in the reference Job 33 verses 14 through 18. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Put them two verses together. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know. Whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. For how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And Paul said, I went to heaven. This happened. Okay? Verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. The thorn in the flesh came from the enemy because Paul had so much revelation, and that enemy was trying to shut that revelation up. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. It was not from God. Lest I be exalted above measure. If you're bragging about a thorn in the flesh, what's the great revelation that you have? Because that's why Paul dealt with a thorn in the flesh. And what are you bragging about a thorn in the flesh for anyways? When Jesus came to set us free from every form of anything that would stop us. Don't brag on it. He's already set you free. Use your faith and get rid of it. Some people brag about a thorn in the flesh, and they've never had one revelation in their whole life. But I didn't say anybody's names. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might be depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He didn't tell Paul not to get rid of it. He's like, my grace is sufficient. Go deal with it. Therefore, most I will boast in my infirmities. Let's see, 10. I take pleasure in infirmity and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now listen, Paul's greatest thorn in the flesh is everywhere he went, the enemy, the spirit of religion, stirred up people against him and made a big fight. I mean, you just saw what he experienced. Perils in prison, in the city, in the field, and good and brethren that he thought were real and they were false, and was bitten by a snake and shipwrecked and beaten and stoned and left for dead. But see, God said to Paul, deal with it. It's like that lady that was behind the Most High God. It's a screechy, scratchety voice, the spirit of religion. And Paul finally turned and said, come out of her, foul devil. The devil came out. Well, then immediately everybody in the city that had used that young lady to make profit for their false god foundries that made false gods, now they came and attacked Paul and Jason and threw them in prison. Beat him. Verse 11, I got to keep moving. The sign of an apostle. I've become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you. For nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I'm nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance. Here they are, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Three signs of an apostle amongst you. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me of this wrong. Paul said, forgive me that I didn't require of you my support. And he called it a wrong. Verse 14, for the third time I'm ready to come to you. I'll not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus, sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all these things, beloved, for your edification. I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Wow. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Now God through the Apostle Paul right there listed a whole bunch of the works of the flesh that this church was actually still doing. Verse 20. Contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. I literally heard a Christian woman the other day say, a woman claiming to be a Christian, well, I'm a gossiper, I tell everybody. I heard man not too long ago say, I don't keep nothing. You tell me, I'll tell everybody. Don't think that's a badge of honor. That's called backbiting. That's called being a talebearer. Don't make the story go. Stop it. 13, here we go. Coming and authority. This will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I've told you before, and I foretell you as if I were present the second time. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before, to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are still in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable. He's not. Paul's saying about what you are going to do for me. Stop doing evil so you get to go to heaven. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak, and you're strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. I'm telling you, that's the second time he made that same statement, for edification and not for destruction. I'm going to be bold, but it's to build you up, not to destroy you. Verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints with me greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen and amen. Amen. May God add his reading, add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, every one of us can see that the Corinthian church and during the life of Paul grew about, hey, Nicole Olson from Minnesota. How you doing, ma'am? Are you guys safe over there? You got electricity and heat and food? Do we need to send relief out? I can't get here because all my roads are closed, but it's good to see you, Nicole. God bless you, ma'am. So good to see you tonight. Put some words in there and I'll keep talking, but type us a message how you're doing. We bless you in Jesus' name. Now, the Apostle Paul is just like any church, the church is going to grow. You first start out filled with zeal, filled with fire, filled with joy, filled with the blessing of God, but then you got to do the work. Send shovels. I know that one city over there got 29 inches of snow. Man, that's amazing in Minnesota. We didn't even get that much snow. We maybe got 8 inches here in Williston. I like that. Send shovels. We're all okay. All right, that's good. That's good. Praise God. Father, bless them. Bless all of the upper Midwest and the Great Plains states. Blizzard, go. Winter's normal. Snow is normal. Cold is normal. But not destruction. We bind you in Jesus' name, according to Genesis chapter 1. Amen. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, he's growing up a church. And just like every organization, at the beginning, you're full of a zeal. Now you got to just be committed. You get to that point where you got to be committed and make it work. And there's a bunch of people that will leave and a bunch of people that will flap their lips and say bad things. And there's nothing bad to be said. And then John said in 1 John chapter 2 that they're going to leave because they got to be exposed for who they really were. We don't want that, and it doesn't have to be you. But that's what Paul's dealing with here. And the Corinthian church is probably 20 years old now. And they've gone through a lot of growing pains, and it's time to go to the next level where we all just look at each other and say, you know what? We are going to make this work. Let's reach the world with the message that God's put on this ministry. He's not put this message on everybody's ministry, but he's given it to us, and we'll be faithful for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. Let's pray the prayer of salvation because we never know who's with us, and we want to give somebody, want to give everybody the opportunity to know our God in a very, very, very powerful, wonderful, holy, anointed way. Everybody pause just a second here. I want to find something for us. I said I was going to bring it to you tonight, and then I didn't get it done. Because it gave me all the stats for what we've done. I'll find it and I'll bring it back to you. Ready? Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Those of you that are with me online, on Zoom, please pray with us and we'll lead the people into the prayer of salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16. When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for that.
And I thank you for that.
Ready? Make your bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and just say it. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive
everyone
in my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life. As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I don't know if I said amen enough, but I'm always fired up and extremely filled with joy and happiness as I look at each of you that might be praying the prayer of salvation right now tonight. Seriously. Why? Because the greatest thing you can ever do is just pray that prayer. And if you meant that from the depths of your heart, you got something going on down inside, and you're like, man, what's going on? Some people call it a feeling. One guy said, that's the best high I ever. He was an old druggie. That's the best high I've ever had, man. You can't get that high on any drug. That's what he told me. And he said, how often can I get this same rush, Pastor? I'm like, probably every day. All you got to do is chase God. So welcome. What just happened, Pastor? Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, just came to live within you. And when he did, he brought the Father and the Holy Spirit, and they have made their abode within you. You are now heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. You are a child of God. God said, I will be to you a God. You will be my people. I will dwell in you and walk among you. And now that you're his family, he's going to set you high above all the nations of the world. He's going to make you the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. And bless everything you put your hand to if you will walk with him every day. He's not way out there somewhere in a universe that you don't know where he is. He is literally by the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Now, you might say, I don't even know how to live this. Don't worry about it. Don't make that statement. Just every day when you wake up, say, Father, help me walk with you. Where is he? He's right here. He's leading you from the inside. Nobody can get between you on the inside of you and him. He made his abode, his temple is in you. Walk with him. He'll challenge your religiousness. Get rid of religiosity. You don't need it. Just walk with him. And whatever you find in this book, do it. Do it. Because that's the answer. Get your Bible, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. That's where I encourage people to read, first of all, because it'll show you Jesus' teaching and the work of the church in our day. You'll be a blessing. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Be with us every time we go live. You can find this the playlist for Read the Word on YouTube. Just search my name, Samuel J. Cottle, and then click Read the Word. Put that all in one search, and it'll take you right to this playlist. When you get to the playlist, there'll be a little square box with a plus sign. Click that plus sign, and it'll add this playlist right to your YouTube page, and you'll be able to go to your library and find it any day that you want to find it. You can do that with all of our playlists. We got 15 or 20 of them out there, and it'll be a blessing to you. Any way we can help you, send me an email. If you email me and say, Pastor, I just prayed a prayer, I'll send you verses to study and memorize. I'll send you some really good videos that'll get you established in the things of God, help you walk with him every day. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. And I'll just keep going, but I know I can't. So, until we see you again, all the folks with me are going to say it. We love you.
We love you.
Let's try it again. All the folks with me are going to say, we love you.
We love you. We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you. And God loves you.
And Jesus is
Lord. And Jesus is Lord.
We'll see you soon. Right here. On the Community of Faith International Networks of radio and video and audio and whatever it goes to, wherever. I hope it goes all over the world. In Jesus' mighty name.